0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ange Postecoglou is being linked with the vacant managerial job at Leeds. Michael Beales reiterated his desire to keep Malik Tillman around after this season. And we slowly start to move away from a Premiership weekend to an exciting time in the Scottish Cup. But plenty of time for that. For the now, you're joined by Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, usually we're stood here on a Tuesday and we're chatting over the weekend's action, but today, waking up, you know, hearing that there's movement in the English Premier League and a manager up here is very heavily linked, might have pricked up the ears of some Celtic fans. So I wonder what, you know, some supporters will have to say about that. Would Ange Postecoglou consider going? Well, it wasn't that long ago that we thought that Brendan Rodgers and Steven Gerrard would have turned down moves down south, and quite quickly they were away. Interesting times for the Celtic manager.
Yeah, as Mark said there, we're not surprised that the Celtic manager getting linked to one or two of these jobs, Gordon. You know, he's been terrific for Celtic. The brand of football will also open people's eyes down in England, the way Celtic play. His transfer policy has been very good. So, of course, when a job like Leeds United comes up, then they're going to look at someone like Postecoglou.
01419511025. That's the number you need to come on then. Have your say on that or anything else that is out there at all. Rangers fans, we're going to hear a clip of Michael Beale talking again about Malik Tillman. I wonder where you are in your desire to keep him permanently at the club. Or is there anyone out there that still needs sold on the idea? Feel free, all opinions are welcome. Anything else you think we've missed this midweek, do pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025. Is this what a quiet midweek feels like, Mark? There is no such thing if we're going to discuss some of that speculation you mentioned. But for the first half of the season, you're dominated by European football midweek. Then we had the transfer window. It's a little bit quieter in the midweeks at the moment.
It is. And I think for the clubs themselves, I think Ange Postecoglou alluded to that after the game at the weekend against St Johnstone, that it's a time to maybe reflect and improve in things, because teams don't get an awful lot of time on the training ground these days. You know, it's just game after game. Then, of course, we had the World Cup in here to you know, keep us going through. Well, anyone at home heard that noise? Oh. That was Daz showing his excitement.
Still moaning about
I'm still moaning about it. But for teams, it's time to, you know, spend on the training pitch, improving. Bit quieter for us, but we've got a Scottish Cup fixture card to look forward to at the weekend.
Looking forward to the weekend. We always look out for where the shot's going to be. Could it come from my old side? Playing against Motherwell at Stats Park, that'll be a tricky one. But I just think that, as Mark rightly said there, the excitement after the World Cup, you had managers losing his job, Jim Goodwin. Other managers coming under a little bit of pressure. Motherwell bringing in 9 new players. So there's a lot to talk about in the transfer market as well.
Come on, 01419511025. That is the number you need, so why not get in touch on that? You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. But surely the chance to speak to two titans of the game in Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, and I almost said that with a straight face, is too good to turn down. 01419511025. You both alright? Feeling up for it? I missed you at the weekend. Wasn't here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Been hearing one or two things about your
performances. We saw
your performances.
You pop up, Gordon.
And
saw you in the background.
Halliday wasn't happy with you.
Why?
By
the
way, because
I was driving.
Wasn't happy with who?
Both of you.
Oh, he was terrible to Andy.
We played it back. We played the clip back of you two suggesting that he'd gone down easily. The guy standing with a 3-inch cut on his shin.
Daz
from the weekend.
He's got that wee bit of reputation. He likes to go down. He likes a wee lump, and he likes the old badgy kissing.
He called it almost to the minute when he would come off, didn't you? You got 65 minutes in the sweepstakes.
I'd like to join in the ridicule, but
is that a badging?
It's not the best.
Well, I don't think Edwards is going to win that appeal, do you?
We won't say that the weekend.
Well, not really.
We'll need to apologise to
you. Will.
Yeah, I'll apologise.
You know, in fairness to us, Gordon, we didn't see the tackle at the time.
We
didn't
digging,
see it.
Digging.
After seeing it, Edwards quite clearly won the ball. And Andy just fell into his stud.
Dundee United legend, you would say that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Oh, look, Tuesday night is an interesting one for you. I think it's definitely that transition where you start to leave the weekend's talking points behind. You know, we're all about it on a Monday. And then, we, you know, we slowly but surely, depending how dramatic the weekend's been, Tuesdays where we start to slightly move on. What did you make of the weekend for anyone who is looking for the last thoughts?
Well, starting at Ibrox, I thought Rangers started the game reasonably well. In fairness, so did Ross County. But just not quite clicking the way Michael Beale would want it to click. I mean, it all came together at Tynecastle midweek, but results are the most important thing. So, again, how much can you complain about that, really, if you're Rangers fans? Well, you would think not much, but people want the complete package these days. However, he's still keeping that winning run going. Your team, Motherwell, I mean, what can you say about them? Watching some of the goals in the defending, oh. I mean, nine players in, well, they've got to start, you know, really upping their performances. And then Celtic at McDermott Park were just outstanding yet again in a tricky surface. Individually, they are taking things to a new level. You know, you look at Moy coming in for O'Reilly, you look at Kyogo, who's now got his eyes set and probably breaking the 30 goal mark. And everyone in between. So another terrific performance from
what
me.
Did you make of the weekend?
We're talking about Motherwell there, Gordon, and I think the saving grace for Motherwell was the fact that the bottom five all lost. You know, you look at Dundee United to the bottom of the table, they lost. St Johnstone obviously lost. Kilmarnock were poor against Livingston, all credit to Livingston. So as much as it was a poor one for Motherwell, but they'll need to start turning the corner. I think there's a sort of a gap now starting to develop, and it's going to be a real battle to see who's going to stay in this division.
01419511025. That's the number you need, so come on, get in touch, let the guys know what's on your mind. I notice, as Mark Wilson says, you wake up this morning, you check the newspapers, you see stories linking Ange Postecoglou with the vacant Leeds job. Other radio stations, TV channels all seem to be having a little go at that debate tonight. But surely this is the place we have the proper debate. So if you fancy that, why not join in right now? 01419511025. We can look at it a number of ways. First of all, would Leeds be interested in Ange Postecoglou for you? Would he be interested in return? Would it seem like a good fit? Would it be not now? Would it be not ever? Would it be not that club? You know, all the usual sort of questions when these situations occur. This is the place for you to answer them. I don't even care that much about what Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale think. Don't tell them I said that. I'd much rather hear your take on it. 01419511025. Gordon's a Celtic fan. Great name. He's from Johnston. What do you think, Gordon, when you saw that stuff earlier on today and maybe even a bit late last night?
It's just the way it is in the west of Scotland. You know what I mean? It's 1 minute they're bringing up no Beale, he's matching Celtic for Evans since he's been here, but he never gets called up for the jobs. It always seems to be. I don't know. I'm just kind of looking through tinted glasses. I just think it's just a lot of rubbish, and it's just a bit of news. And as Gordon, good evening to the rest of the panel. As Gordon said earlier on, he's going to get looked at. Like players, I don't expect them to be there forever. But I expect them to maybe to go to a bigger team than Leeds. They're not going to get much chance of champion. They'll probably fight relegation.
Sure.
They're not going to win. I don't know. I think he's just a young man who wants to improve. Not saying he's not going to improve. Well, you know, he's playing up better opposition. But I just think it's just, you know, 1 minute one of the local papers is. I just think it's just funny. And it just always seems to be.
You've partially lost me, Gordon, because on one hand you're saying, I have no idea what Michael Beale's got to do with this, to be honest. Maybe we could elaborate. You know, you started off by saying it's, you know, it's just rubbish, it's funny. And then you say, well, I mean, he's bound to get linked with jobs because he's doing well. I mean, is that not all it is? Is it nonsense, or is it inevitable? Which is it? It can't be both at the same time.
No, but I'm saying the Rangers manager, is he not doing really well as well? But he doesn't seem to be linked. It just seems to be Celtic. So,
you'll honestly need to explain this to me. What has Michael Beale got to do with the links between Leeds and Ange Postecoglou? I genuinely, I'm not trying to be funny. What do you mean?
Well, I'm seeing it in newspapers that he's doing a really good. He's matching Celtic game for game and point for point and everything else.
Which is just a fact, though, isn't it? There's not much more attached to that. It's just true.
Yes. So why has he not been put up for? No, he's came from down south. He's got more experience down south than Ange has. So I'm just linking the two of them together. I just think it's just this nonsense up here in the west of Scotland.
But here's where you're factually wrong, I would suggest, Gordon, right? Because everyone's got their opinion, but see if you turn on Sky Sports News and you see some English reporter standing outside Elland Road talking about candidates for the job and mentioning Ange Postecoglou's name, and you then see former Leeds goalkeeper Paul Robinson on the TV saying he wants Ange Postecoglou as the Leeds manager, that's where it comes from, Gordon. That's why we're talking about it tonight. So you can scoff and say, it's just what it's like up here or the west of Scotland, and it's funny and it's nonsense, but that's not where it comes from.
But that's my opinion. It's nonsense. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things coming out all the time, so it's just funny how they just highlight these things. They don't highlight other things. But that's just my opinion. I just think it's...
So what's your opinion on former Leeds goalkeeper Paul Robinson being on national TV and asking and suggesting he'd want Ange Postecoglou to be the next Leeds manager?
What's wrong with that? Is he not as loud as his opinion?
Of course he is. I'm just trying to push back on this idea that people are somehow trying to... Because on one hand, Gordon's telling me that Ange Postecoglou is doing a great job, so of course clubs are going to look at him. So I don't get the big conspiracy.
I suppose, Gordon, what I'm taking from Gordon is he's maybe annoyed that, you know, he thinks that maybe the press up here are trying to unsettle the Celtic manager from the terrific job he's doing.
It would be fine if it was coming from up here.
Exactly. It's just not true. Now, I would see it as a huge compliment to Ange Postecoglou and the job that he's done here within 18 months. Of course it is.
I think that's kind of the way you're meant to feel about it.
If you look at Leeds United, is Leeds United a small club? No. Leeds United are a huge club who sat in the lower leagues or the championship for, was it, I don't know, something ridiculous, 14, 15 years or something like that. They get promoted. The fan base is huge. The investment in the club, or what's coming for the San Francisco 49ers Enterprises, is coming in the summer, I think, is going to be dwarf Scottish football, of course, and it might dwarf a lot of English Premier League teams. Would that be enough to persuade any manager to go in there? Probably. But it depends what Ange Postecoglou's got in his mind. Here's the thing. Celtic and Rangers fans think that they know their manager inside out when they come here. And a lot of them just fall in love with him and can't see anything bad said against him, or think that that manager may think outside of Scottish football. And it's just not true. I said at the top of the show, Gerrard and Brendan Rodgers are prime examples that anything can happen very quickly in this game.
Depends though. I mean, would Ange Postecoglou want to go to a relegation battle just now? I know what Mark's saying. Obviously they're a big club. I mean, no one's doubting that. Could you really see... Firstly, do you think he's done the type of job that would have them interested in him, and then vice versa, would he entertain the idea?
100%. I think they've got to be looking at what he's brought to the table at Celtic. He walked in and he's just turned the club upside down. He's brought in good players. He's shown that he knows how to work the transfer market. He plays a good brand of football. I think that Postecoglou would sit up and take notice if Leeds came chapping his door. I really do. I think, like Mark, they're a massive, massive club. Rangers and Celtic both lost managers to clubs I don't think are as big as Leeds, and Leicester and Aston Villa. Mark hit it right in the head when he says it's a compliment because of the job he's doing. They've got to be noticing him. They've got to look at him. I know what Gordon's saying about Beale, but he's not been a manager for a long time. He's bedding into Rangers. You know, if Michael Beal goes about his business in a season, two seasons, starts winning the league, winning trophies, then obviously he'll get noticed as well. But right now, the man in form has got to be Postecoglou.
I mean, please gamble responsibly and all that, Mark. And this isn't always the prime indicator, but last I checked, it's kind of bang up there on the betting lists. Sorry to tell Gordon, you know, Carlos Corberan, the other ones, Pochettino, Nuno Espirito Santo, Marcelo Bielsa return.
These are the types of names being mentioned. Isn't just Celtic with Postecoglou. Bear in mind, it's not just this 18 months that people at Leeds will look at. It's the all round package. How Celtic recruited Ange Postecoglou, when, let's be honest, none of us in the studio, apart from one who played with him, had heard him. But Leeds will do their due diligence and look at his past backgrounds and his international career. And I think Gordon says he was a young manager. Ange Postecoglou isn't a young manager.
Did you say that?
No, no, him. Gordon, no, on the phone. No, sorry, a young manager. Fine. No, unless he was mean Beale by that, by the way. But I may have taken that wrong. But he's a hugely experienced manager.
International manager as well.
Yeah. Mm. Be interesting though, isn't it? Because this is the bit we'll never know up here. Is how they, because we know that there's a, is there an arrogance? Is there a snobbery? Do them down the road, do they look down their nose at us? Possibly. Mm-hmm. Because the two that you mentioned, look, Brendan Rodgers had a good managerial career in England before. Mm-hmm. Steven Gerrard was Steven Gerrard. I'm just nosy. I want to know, because Ange Postecoglou to us obviously has done a very good job. You wonder how much that's cut through.
I think the reason, you're right, Gordon, because we'd look and think, well, Celtic and Rangers won most of the games, they're going to win the league.
Brendan Rodgers had managed Liverpool previously.
Exactly,
you know?
But where I think he comes into the radar for me is, if it's a club and they're looking to put investment in, you look at the transfer market. Now, Postecoglou has been very successful and brought in players that we'd never heard of, and they've been really successful at Celtic. Also, you would look at the brand of football. And let's face it, Celtic fans are on here most nights complimenting the way Celtic play, the pace they play it. So I think those sort of things comes into play when you're looking north of the border.
Let's ask Dwayne, who's also a Celtic fan, for his take on it. Dwayne, take it away.
Hi there, lads. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good.
Yeah. So I think this is a totally different situation for Brendan Rodgers or Steven Gerrard. Obviously, I'm a Celtic fan, but Brendan Rodgers wanted that big move. Certainly was a big move for him. But I believe he wanted that bigger move to a bigger team. You know, if Barcelona or anything like that would have called, he'd have took that as well. Whenever Ange came out here, nobody gave him the light of day. Even on your show, you heard it yourself, nobody gave him the light of day. Talk Sport, nobody gave him the light of day. And he said it in all his press conferences, I'm here to prove everybody wrong. His whole career, he's proved everybody wrong. When he came to Celtic, didn't he come with a staff, didn't he come with anybody, he took the staff on, he took the fans on, and he said to Celtic, right, don't give me a 3-4 year contract, give me a contract until the end of the season to see what I can do, and he's shown what he can do. I think it's a totally different situation. I know that you might think I'm biased when I say this, but I think Brendan Rodgers wanted the glory hunt. He wanted that bigger, more money, more be able to do more things. Where Celtic, he had the whole glory, he had the whole town behind him. And, you know, after, 4 or 5 years, sometimes they do look away, but after 2 years, I don't think Ange's looking to go anywhere else. I think what he's looking for is another Champions League run, maybe even a Europa run, if we can't make it that far. But it's very unlikely to see Ange Postecoglou go anywhere.
Yeah, and it's another interesting way of looking at it, because you... I think to someone like Steven Gerrard, this is why we always, you know, we do kind of broad brush and we lump people together. I get it, because they're recent examples. To someone like him, the English Premier League is the be-all and end-all. To someone like Brendan Rodgers, who's worked there, the English Premier League is probably the be-all and end-all. I've got no idea if Ange Postecoglou feels that way. No idea. It's a guy who's from Australia, who's managed in Japan, who's managed internationally. Of course, everyone knows it's commercially the biggest league. It's got the most eyeballs on it. So I'm pretty sure it's on his radar somewhere. But no idea how, if he feels anywhere near as strongly about.
No,
that,
I know what you're saying.
Other examples.
We don't know the man personally. You do. You know him inside out. He's never really come out and harboured those ambitions in press conferences. But I would find it hard to believe a man who has kind of, you know, experience and substance, the way he's got Celtic playing, wouldn't he want to test himself in the most lucrative, most competitive league in the world, basically? Any top manager.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's not going to have any thought of ever doing it, but it just might not be. To some people, it's the absolute ultimate. And we just don't know if that is the case for him.
But, look, these things don't come along that often, and sometimes you've got to grasp opportunities when they come. Ange Postecoglou will be well aware of how things can change in football, so the timing might be one thing. I totally understand what you're saying. He might just be sitting there listening to us just now and going, what a load of nonsense, I've got my family here, sure. I am settled, and I am loving life.
So Dwayne, do you think this is, I mean, is this inevitable, Dwayne, because he's doing such a good job? I've yet to meet or hear from a Celtic fan who doesn't love the job that he's doing. So is it, you think, will this day come eventually? It's just not now, or it's not this club. You know, how would you sum up?
I think it's eventual. Obviously, it's eventual, especially when a manager comes in, turns around within a season, turns the whole city around, basically. Nobody thought he was going to be able to do that. Myself alone, I was like, all right, we'll get a season and we'll win it again this season. But he's turned everything around. It's definitely inevitable. I don't think it's very limited. If you're a successful manager, I think the calls will always come. It might not come for the EPL, but, I mean, you've got the Bundesliga, you know. You've got La Liga as well. They might call for you as well. To him, it could be another Japanese team he might want to go to. He might want to go be a, you know, a nation's coach somewhere else. So it's like you said, you don't really know, but it's not very viable, especially this transfer market. I'm sure before we hear it, and people are calling his agent or calling him, he'd be like, all right, well, this is who's interested in you. I just don't, it's not viable. I don't even think it's viable at the end of the season. I just don't see that being the type of person that he is, has shown to be. Brendan Rodgers has always shown, and Steven Gerrard, that they have allegiance to the EPL. They've shown it. They've always wanted to be at the bigger top at the club. I mean, what Brendan Rodgers was looked at to be taken there for Jurgen Klopp, but 5 years later, Jurgen's still there. So it's a different ballgame. But when you look at Ange, the way the emotion that he shows and nobody else shows, the way he holds himself at press conferences, it doesn't seem like a man that wants to be like, all right, I'll go down there to see what it's going, especially on a relegation battle. And if they do get relegated, then all right, he might win that challenge. But I don't see it viable, especially with all the, you know, all the backing that the board has gave him. I don't see it as a possibility.
Understandable. Thank you, Dwayne. 01419511025. What do you think? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard so far? Pick up the phone and let us know.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. Pick up the phone, let us know what is on your mind. A lot of talk in the footballing circles today. I see newspapers, radio stations down south, TV stations having a bit of a speculation about who the next Leeds manager might be. Ange Postecoglou's name is getting mentioned. Some of you out there are not having it, don't think it's worth discussing. Some of you just don't think he would go, and various other opinions in between. So this is the time to share them. 01419511025. Frankie is a Celtic fan in Bishopbriggs. What's your take on it, Frankie?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. I just think that I think Ange is he's signing all these players for Korea and Japan, and he signed them in long term contracts, and I don't think that he's going to be signing these players just for him to leave. So and I think Ange's got a bit of integrity, and I just think he's going to be here for a long term. I know he's going to get linked with other jobs. It's just standard because of the job he's doing with Celtic. However, I think just the way he's setting up and the way he's signing these players, I don't think there's any chance of him going.
See, just on that, like, completely hypothetically, because I'm well aware no one's interested in whether I think he would go or not, but you say, you know, I think Ange's got integrity. Would him taking another job mean that he lacked integrity? Do you know what I mean? We always use these words, Frankie, don't we, about, you know, being loyal and having integrity. Would it mean that he wasn't those things just if he got a job that he fancied taking?
Well, no, I get what you're saying, Gordon. However, I just think he's got a long-term plan in place for Celtic, whether it be 5 years, 4 or 5 years. I just don't think he would do as much as I like Brendan Rodgers. I just don't think he would go down the same road, because, I mean, when Brendan Rodgers left, he left with a sour taste in everybody's mouth. So I just think he's a different type of character.
Maybe I think he is a different character. There's no doubt about that. You see their style of management, you see the way they come across in press conferences, you know, and just in the face of things, you can see their different personalities. But let's be honest, a couple of weeks before Brendan Rodgers went, Celtic fans would have been saying the same thing. This guy's here for 10 in a row, the whole song was there, and I remember when it broke, and you're going, that can't be true. So I don't think we can second guess how they feel behind the scenes.
The parallels I do wonder about, because Brendan Rodgers had two cracks at the Champions League group stages, had then failed to make the Champions League group stages. You know, was he not a bit further down the line?
He was, but the opportunity came up at that point.
No, I'm talking
an
about
opportunity
the,
might have not
I'm
come up.
Talking
for
about the
Brendan.
Parallels.
Yeah, but it.
You're thinking Ange Postecoglou was going to stay for an hour crack at the Champions League?
It would be one factor that would be different if we're making comparison.
I can see the point in that. The one thing I would say about Postecoglou, he strikes me as the kind of guy that he just won't jump in unless he does his homework and it's right for him. Mm. I think Brendan Rodgers would have moved to most Premier League clubs, right? I don't think Postecoglou's like that. I think he would have a look at the club, see where he could take them. They're obviously in a relegation fight, i.e. why they sacked their own manager. But surely a man of his experience, because he is an experienced manager, must, like any other player or any other professional, want to go up against the best. Mm-hmm. And eventually it'll happen, whether it's this year or maybe next year or whatever. If he keeps going the way he's going, and he's obviously on the radar of clubs, because I keep going back to it, I think nowadays with the amount of money, the transfer market, you need to get that right as a coach or a manager.
Take the Leeds job now, you can't sign anyone till the summer.
I know that, Gordon, but he'll have a look at their squad as well. Look, he walked into a job over here and you know, weeks before the season started, and he turned it round very quickly. He get players playing, he get the best out of players that were there. Mm-hmm. That's another added advantage for him. His man management's very good. He does get he plays a nice style of football. So eventually he will go, whether it be now or next year. If he keeps going about his business the way he's going about it, he's got to get the big move.
Yeah, I mean, Frankie, it depends where you look. I've got Sky Bet in front of me. I thought I would check during the break. He's fifth favourite, 12-1. Please gamble responsibly. That doesn't mean anything to a lot of people, but you know, he's obviously in the conversation. Frankie, do you feel like the job he's done will be cutting through at that sort of level?
But I think when he's fifth in the betting, that kind of tells its own story. I think there'll be other contenders. This chap for West Brom,
yep,
he was a previous manager. So, no, I'm quite happy. I'm quite. I don't think Big Ange will be going anywhere.
You know what? As a good test, you know, a test. You know, Frankie was saying about integrity and loyalty, all the things that Celtic fans hold dear. And if the questions are there, now Leeds might not even approach him, might not speak to him, but when they appoint another manager, Celtic fans can feel good about that, even if nothing's happened. I disagree with you about Brendan Rodgers. I don't think he would have went to any Premier League club. I think he would have looked at Leicester and saw the investment in the training ground and chose that wisely. I think the biggest risk to Celtic and their fans at the minute with Postecoglou is the investment going into Leeds. You chat about relegation. Even if they go back, Leeds will come straight back up with the investment going into that club over the next 10 to 15 years.
No guarantees there though. How many big clubs go down and get lost?
100%.
I think he's up to 100.
He was confident. Hold on a minute. Him anything.
Give him 5 minutes, he'll be doing 50.
But this is nae your yo-yo payments. This investment free. You know what American owners
sure,
are like,
but they're just you would leave a little bit of room.
I'll go 90%.
But if you go in that logic, you look at Chelsea, for instance, they should win the Premier League
they're up against Man City though, aren't they? And Liverpool.
What about that? Are you worried that the phone's going to go and that big signing on fee from 1982 or whatever it was is going to get pulled back?
You might take your medals.
They might take.
Imagine him and Pep up at the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
Did he not compare himself to Pep in the office?
I'll tell you what, if there's one man that's got experience with lawyers trying to take your money off you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The checks are all gone, Gordon. You can't get blood
in no trace.
Were you worried to hear that news about your old club?
I am. I'm really concerned. Wouldn't like to see that happening to the Blues.
Anyway, thank you to Frankie. 01419511025. We've got another tweet here saying, shop around because Ange is 20-1 on Paddy Power. He may well be, and please do gamble responsibly. We're giving bookmakers an awful lot of publicity tonight.
I do love the odds. See, when you see some of the names on lists, even when it's like smaller clubs up here, but and it's guys that haven't even managed for ages, how did they get on that list?
I'm going to see you two appearing at some point. I think on a Yeah, bookie on to explain this. On a smaller market, yeah, a little bit, any sort of bet on there can probably influence it. And but look, this all stems back. This is a compliment to Ange Postecoglou, because if you are annoyed by the suggestion, okay, then do you not think he has done enough to be linked with the Leeds job? That would be the question, which I would imagine to most Celtic fans, the answer to that would be, well, of course he's done enough.
And you know what's the real funny thing about this is, it's probably his Champions League campaign that makes people sit up and take notice even more, because he did go toe-to-toe with the big guns. But ultimately, people will say, well, look at the record, look at the group stage, how can that be applauded? But listen, when clubs are looking into style and ways of playing and resources compared to what you're up against on the pitch, that all comes into play.
That is an interesting one, right? Because we'll get to Ange Postecoglou's feelings in a second, because that's the main theme of the calls. This notion of style, I think that'll be Leeds' priority right now. I get most clubs want that, of course they do. Leeds are 17th in the English Premier League. They are level on points with the relegation zone. They are 3 points above bottom place. Is there a possibility that they go for more of a, I don't know, a quick fix, or someone that's likely to get you out, someone that knows it, knows the environment a bit better? You know, does Ange, is there something about Ange Postecoglou that might just suit a summer move, a transfer window, a pre-season? I'm not saying he's incapable. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get in the heads of the people that are making the decision down there.
Me personally, I think that Postecoglou is a character that can walk into a club that are struggling and lift the place and get everyone together, get them playing. I think he's got that experience. I think he's very good at that. I think he's man management. I like the way he handles his press conferences as well. He's a very positive manager. Mm. So I think players would buy into that, Gordon. So I think, look, he should be in Leeds' radar, because he's been terrific for Celtic, and he's ticked nearly every box, come in, and whether it's his style of football, I think he knows how to win games. And I think right now that's what Leeds are looking for.
I'm wondering, you say you like his press conferences, I wonder how much detail he'll give in his answer when he's asked about this on Thursday afternoon.
Will Andrew be there, or Gabs?
That'll be me, that's for sure.
And he starts calling you mate, that's when you're in trouble.
It's a compliment, Ange. They should just say that back. It's just a compliment.
Yeah, of course it is. And you know, we've got to remember, I know we hate talking about the English Premier League, and we kind of sneered at it a wee bit because of the money, but it is the top league. About the top players are attracted there, the top managers, whether we like it or not. Who was it, Frankie or Dwayne mentioned the Bundesliga and Serie A? No, they can't compare to the Premier League, and that's just the truth.
We're going to speak to Brian, who's a Celtic fan, and get his thoughts next. Keep them coming.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dl are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need to get on board and let us know what you're thinking tonight. Oh my goodness, Ange Postecoglou, never suggest that a Celtic manager or a Rangers manager, if it ever comes up, has done enough to be linked with a move to England, and it could be a talking point because it gets everyone very, very uptight. That's what I've noticed.
People not happy
about Twitter tonight. Very
surely they're not happy at us. We're only discussing it. It's not our idea.
You two are always annoying people. I think that's something I've noticed. Anyway, but let's go back to the phones and bring in Brian, who is a Celtic fan. What do you think, Brian? We mentioned it, a couple of ways of looking at it. Has Ange Postecoglou done enough to be mentioned down there? And if so, would he entertain the idea? You know, how do you see it?
I think he's done enough, guys, but I don't think he would entertain the idea, not at the minute anyway. Just I think Ange's one of these types of characters. He's got a bit of integrity about him. I don't think he's like Brendan Rodgers and he would kind of leave us halfway through a season. I think if Ange Postecoglou wished to leave Celtic, I think he would be one of these guys that would come out and tell the fans, I'm going to be leaving at the end of the season. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't just leave on a whim just because there's more money being offered, or, do you know what I mean? And I was listening to you guys talking a minute ago, and I think, all due respect to the Scottish League, obviously the English Premier League's a better standard of football, but you need to remember, guys, Celtic give these managers you know what I mean, the chance to play in the biggest club competition in the world, the UEFA Champions League. And it doesn't matter how good the Premier League is, it's not as good as the UEFA Champions League. That's why you've got the likes of teams that are winning leagues every year, like Man City and PSG's. They still can't win the Champions League because it's just a better standard. And do you know what I mean? And Angie's got the chance at Celtic to test his cell against the very best players, the very best managers in the Champions League. And I don't think his job's done at Celtic yet, guys. I think he's wanting to win trebles. He's wanting to build something. He's wanting to build a legacy here. And I don't think he would just give all that up just to go down and make a bit of Shabob doing it. Do you know what I mean? Down and find relegation in England.
Yeah, the thing I'm worried about you two, because you're feeding into this, right? It's become a fact. Everybody knows it's the richest league and it's clearly one of the most desirable, and I've no doubt that it's a big pool, but it's not irresistible. I feel like you two are acting like it is irresistible. It's not. Why would we feed into that? That's what they would have you believe down south at times, but it's not irresistible. It's not like any manager anywhere should always jump at any English Premier League job. It's just not the case.
But it's the club as well.
Right, okay, so you think that's part of it?
Yeah.
Even though they're 17th?
Yeah, I think Leeds are a big, big football club. I think that it's a fact that I never thought that Brendan Rodgers would have left. I was shocked when that happened midway through the season. I don't know. I have no idea what Postecoglou would think. All I'm saying is, Gordon, I can understand if he's on Leeds' radar.
Yeah, that's different, of course it is.
He's been terrific up here.
Where were Leicester in the table, if we are going to keep sticking with this comparison? I can't imagine they were in a relegation fight, though, were they? It must be relevant. Because, I mean, it's February, remember. It's not like it's September.
I don't think...
But I think you're then suggesting it's a short-term thing. It's definitely not a short-term thing. Ange Postecoglou, I don't think, would look at Leeds and go, you know, relegation, if I get relegated, I'm going to be stuck in the Championship. Surely, look at the way he looked at Celtic. He must have looked at a club that he could rebuild. That seems to fit his mould, his personality. Yeah. Maybe he just looks at that. Look, I'm with Brian and Frankie.
Right,
I hope he doesn't. I hope he stays here.
Of course you do, I get that.
But I'm being realistic about this. And a lot of Celtic fans, not like me saying it, are clearly not realistic. Because it's happened in the past, and I get the old Brendan Rodgers isn't the same. He isn't the same, but it happened nevertheless. So it could happen again.
You sound like someone that was hurt by Brendan Rodgers.
Not at all.
He cried that night.
What makes you think that?
That's what I've now realised it. I've now got to the bottom. There's two things at play here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was hurt by Brendan Rodgers, and he's just prepared that it could happen again.
Yeah,
he was very upset. And secondly, he knows how it feels to have a dream move from Leeds ripped away at the last minute. I've forgotten all about the failed medical.
Don't start me on Leeds.
Did you get a failed medical at Leeds?
Don't start me on Leeds.
Was I not supposed to say that?
That was.
Seriously?
That was near a transfer deadline.
He's
day
told
in
that
January.
Story
I've told it. Yeah,
he's told it before.
And failed it. So
Leeds are
my favourite
club.
All the way down. And
where were you coming from?
Chocolate Knees.
Dundee United.
Celtic. How do you not know anything about him?
I don't. I just don't listen.
Anyway, so I caught a glimpse of the training ground back then.
Oh, it was great, wasn't it?
It was beautiful. That was beautiful.
The pictures of Ange.
I seen that for a few hours, and I was back at the front door.
Oh.
Thanks for coming.
I mean, look, Brian, I'm getting a bit annoyed because we keep going back to this manager and that manager because it's completely different. It's completely different scenarios. But where I will allow my learned friend Mark Wilson, does the emotional side of it, the absolute certainty that fans had that Brendan Rodgers wouldn't leave, is that bit slightly relevant? Does it not at the very least tell us anything's possible?
Of course anything's possible, Gordon, but I just think you need to look at Ange as a character, and I think what he was craving more than anything was a chance to come over to Europe and a chance to you know what I mean, to win trophies and stuff. And I think Celtic gave him that opportunity when a lot of the kind of other teams around Europe and stuff kind of turned their noses up at him, like, oh, he's only managed in Australia or he's only managed in Japan. And I think he appreciates the fact that Celtic fans love him and Celtic gave him that opportunity to bring his family over here and, you know what I mean, and have a real go. And it's been clear to see Celtic's backed him. So I think it's time for Ange to stay and you know what I mean, and show his loyalty to Celtic, because Celtic's done everything they could to give this manager what he wants. And you know what I mean? I just think he's a totally different character from Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers had been up here for a few years. He had won trebles back to back. And do you know what I mean? He'd basically done a lot up here before he decided to jump ship over to Leicester. But I don't think Andy's job's done up here yet. I think, like the guys were saying before me, like he started to bring in a lot of these guys over from Japan, and they've only been here for a season, do you know what I mean? Or the guys for Korea and stuff have only been here for a couple of months. So I think you need to give the guys, he's wanting to be here for the long term. I think 4 or 5 years minimum at least before he decides, like, maybe his time's up at Celtic.
Who knows whether it's 4 or 5, because that's quite a long time in the modern day game. But since we can't, despite my best attempts, since we can't get away from the Brendan Rodgers comparison, it seems you did get the feeling from his Champions League campaigns that he sort of felt that he couldn't do much more. I mean, granted, he had some really tough draws, right? You look at Barcelona and Bayern and PSG and whatnot, but it was two really sore Champions League campaigns followed by a failure to reach the Champions League. Whether this is enough to count for anything or not, I don't know. But specifically in the Champions League, you do at least feel like Ange Postecoglou would really like another crack at it.
Yeah, where I will concede, yeah, you're right in that point. That Brendan Rodgers, you heard murmurings of clashes over transfer targets and him trying to push the boat to get near these teams, and it just wasn't allowed at the club at that time because the way the club was being ran, obviously. The club is in a different place at the minute, where a manager who seems so sure in his style and his signings that he could make a dent in those teams. And I agree, he will want a shot at the Champions League again. He certainly will. But it's whether he wants that shot instantly or he backs himself then further down the line.
To get Leeds into the Champions
League. Now that's hard, but how do we know the Celtic manager's ambitions? Everyone's on here pretending that they know Ange, that he wouldn't leave Celtic because he's full integrity. Maybe his ambitions just are beyond what we can think of, and the sky is the limit for him. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the guy.
He's, none of us do, apart from you, obviously.
He's got
certainly seem a long way from the Champions League just now. Can we at least admit that?
Yeah, Leeds you're talking about. Miles away. Look, he's got to have the ambition, like any player, he wants to go up against the best. And that's in England. Whether he decides... Now, Leeds might not approach him. You know, this is all hearsay. But I totally understand why he's on the radar, because he ticks all the boxes for me. But it might be an opportunity that he says, no, I'm happy where I am. Because even, as Mark mentioned, and what we don't take into consideration... You know, his family and everything comes into the mix as well. You know, they might just be happy in Scotland. He's got a massive club at Celtic. The supporters, everybody loves him. He's got, you know, his players there that, you know, run through a brick wall for him. So he might just look at it and say, no, I'm staying here, Champions League, try and get a crack at that. But eventually, whether it be next year or the year after, he'll certainly be looking to go to England to put yourself up against the best for me.
The thing is, the strategy of these clubs is impossible, because quite often they're seduced by someone who's got English football experience, aren't they? You know, like we said, that's why the Steven Gerrard thing's not really comparable, the Brendan Rodgers, because they were well known down there. You look at even some of the names, they're obviously the favourite is someone who's been there before. Bielsa's been there before. Pochettino, Hasenhüttl. I mean, there then are other names that I see them linked with, the Rayo Vallecano manager, I think. Yeah. And other clubs have tried to produce that. So without knowing exactly how they feel, it's difficult, because to us he's obviously done a good job. I think he'd be pretty mad not to agree with that. But again, we always think that they, if we can use that phrase, it sounds a bit harsh, look down their noses at us generally. So I'd be interested to know how they feel. I mean, has there been any real speculation before? There was a bit about Everton before, wasn't there?
A wee bit, yeah.
I know the first caller said, oh, every time a job's come up, you know, you in the west of Scotland want to link Ange Postecoglou with it. I don't think, we've never had a conversation like this before. There was a couple of calls about Everton. I can't remember any others.
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, Gordon, when you said that when you switched on the TV earlier, and his ex-Leeds players saying that they personally would like him to come. That's where it kind of takes.
So they've obviously noticed.
Of course they've noticed. And you know what it is? It's the style of play. How he transforms Celtic from what they were to what they are now, competing in the Champions League. That's what people sit up and take notice of. People are envious of that. Clubs want their clubs to play like that. Clubs want to, fans want to go and be entertained. Now the Celtic fans go there every week, home and away, knowing that no matter what happens, the game's going to be entertaining because the way the manager sets out his team. Which fan wouldn't want that at their club?
Thank you, Brian. I think all callers seem to be in agreement. Some people, I don't know, obviously there would be a wishful thinking element on Celtic fans. You're not going to even want to entertain the idea. But most people, I think, in fact, that's every caller so far saying he's done enough to be mentioned, but he wouldn't go anywhere. If you've got an opposing view or you want to keep that theme going, you know where we are.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, a bit of light relief in the form of Beat the Pundit. If you want to take on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL and put them in their place, now is the time. You have to call before 7 o'clock. The number you need is 0141 951 1025. So get in touch and it could be you who takes them on next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or you can tweet your warmest, kindest regards at Clyde SSB. Do get in touch. It would be nice to hear from you on whatever it is. If you've just joined us, you've missed a lot of thoughts about Ange Postecoglou. I think most people acknowledge he has done enough to be linked with a job like Leeds, as he has been. But most people, certainly most fans that have phoned in, of the opinion that that would not be a goer from his perspective. So if you want to agree or disagree, this is the place to do it. 0141 951 1025. If you want to move on, what about you Rangers fans? I've got a clip here of Michael Beale talking about Malik Tillman and his desire to make that permanent. Do you share that? Are you still looking to be sold on the idea? Are those numbers of people who are waiting to be sold dwindling? Do let us know. I sometimes wonder if the Motherwell fans, we didn't hear too many last night, I wonder if they save up their thoughts, because like the mayor of Motherwell, as you are, to be on, it's a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they'll just be coming from the disappointment of the weekend. Big game on Saturday, you've got to say. Not the easiest place to go, well, especially in the 80s.
Yeah. And I noticed the Palmerston Pep, or pal Marvin Bartley, whatever you call him, Mark Martin. He's in the Challenge Cup semi final tonight, is he not?
Well, chance to win his first trophy.
Hold on a minute.
By the way,
at Hamilton.
Yeah.
If you'd anything about you as a friend or a colleague, you would go straight down there after the show. You'll be there with 35 minutes gone.
Yeah.
And you could support the big guy.
No, absolutely no chance.
What if he's looking for a striker's coach? You know that way when there's a manager and a shuggly peg, and the next guy sits in the stand.
Yeah.
You could give him some.
I could be the striker's coach.
Some pointers. Not fancy it, no?
I would help him out. He's inexperienced. He needs a bit of experience beside him. I think Mark, have a look at Mark. He was excellent at Airdrie. Left, took the wee Sid with him. What happened? Bang.
I'd love to see him back in the training field with the big baggy trackies, the socks in.
I've got the new knee, I've got the new hip,
the drill top.
The rugby.
I could demo my stuff now.
Asics running trainers on. Whistle round the neck.
Oh yeah, I've got the whistle. I do that. And the stopwatch. You always need a stopwatch. Me and Big Ange down to Leeds.
Because the thing is, right, think about this. I'm piecing the Queen of the South only train in Hamilton as well.
Exactly.
A stone's throw from you.
Exactly.
Has he asked you yet?
I'm waiting for a call.
I think that tells his own story.
Go to the game tonight. Get in his head.
Ah no, he'd be too busy, big guy.
Yeah. Anyway, right, okay, let's move on, shall we?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we get on this evening. Convincing win for Andy Halliday last night. He was on form. Tough questions they were, I must say.
I was listening. They were tough.
They were tough.
But George was hopeless.
Another Andy on the line, this one from Dundee. How's it going, Andy?
Aye, not bad. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, I just play along listening on the podcast and that.
Good, that's the best way. I like when we've got a debutant. Usually do okay when you play along at home?
Not too bad.
I think that's the right amount. You don't want to come on and be too confident.
No,
because you two will slaughter them.
He's keeping his cards close to his chest. Yeah, isn't he, old Andy
style.
Boy?
Heads, it'll be Mark Wilson. Good. Tails, Gordon DL. And it is heads, Mark Wilson. Up against Andy.
I like the sound.
One of the questions is going to be Leeds. It's got to be Leeds in there.
Aye, just go Leeds for a
Ross. Is it Leeds?
You're like an honorary member of the Dundee community as well, having spent so much of your time there.
Yeah, a long time there.
We could maybe get you to hand deliver the ball. Anyway, let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to. That's him switched off, Andy. You've got 30 seconds to answer as many as you can. And as always, you can pass and move on if you wish, okay?
Aye, the ball.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who's the only player Brendan Rodgers brought from Liverpool to Celtic in 2016?
Pass.
Who scored Rangers' winner against St Johnstone in the Scottish Cup last month?
Pass.
Which London club is Remy Matthews on loan at St Johnstone from?
Fulham.
What Celtic player's worn the number 49 since 2009?
James Forrest.
What Rangers player made their first team debut on Saturday?
What's his name?
You've got a bit of time. Which Rangers player made his first team debut on Saturday?
Pass.
You're going to kick yourself over that one. Are you ready, Mark Wilson?
I just caught the tail end of what you were saying. But Andy, have a nightmare there.
No, what if that was mind games? What if I meant you to hear that?
Well, Daz's face. Daz is clearly laughing at Andy.
I press the button to bring you back.
So you meant it.
When you come back. Or maybe.
Right, okay.
Listen, one will do it.
I wouldn't be so sure. Ready?
Yeah.
Who's the only player Brendan Rodgers brought from Liverpool to Celtic in 2016?
Pass.
Who scored Rangers' winner against St Johnstone in the Scottish Cup last month?
Morelos.
Which London club is Remy Matthews on loan at St Johnstone from?
Tottenham.
Which Celtic player has worn the number 49 since 2009?
James Forrest.
Which Rangers player made their first team debut on Saturday?
The new boy.
Wow.
Oh no.
Wow.
The
that
new boy
was horrendous, Mark Wilson.
I know. What's the new boy's name again?
Nicholas?
Or Raskin. So that's
Andy, what's happening here? Seriously.
I think it was a fell apart tonight.
Oh good.
That's a relief. One would have done it.
That's a relief.
Andy's one of them. He plays at home. He's okay. No pressure. Minute comes on live.
What's this guy's excuse?
No, I actually wanted a dazzler tonight. That was the problem. Well, I folded with a pressure of Mark.
Well, I had to get two. There's still been enough to beat.
I did think they were quite tough. Brendan Rodgers brought Kolo Touré. I think that's tough, especially the way the time frame worked out. Anyway,
I thought the first three were tough.
Borna Barisic, remember it? The great strike kind of sort of fell over to the left.
That's
the
right.
Remy Matthews is on loan from Crystal Palace. 0-0 after three questions. You both knew that James Forrest wears 49.
Yes.
Yeah.
Neither of you inexplicably knew that Nicholas Raskin, we've spoken about him every night for about 3 weeks, made his first team debut on Saturday. And that was it. Five questions.
One each.
I think that's fair, Andy. Before I had a good day here, let's move on. Let's move on.
It's been called many things.
We've had better days.
Right, here's the deal, Andy. I will read the question. I'll get Mark to write his answer down for the tiebreaker and then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Right.
Let's do it. Your question is this: how many penalties have been awarded in the Scottish Premiership this season? Quite simple. How many penalties have been awarded in the Scottish Premiership
that's
this season? Let me see your paper,
that's
Mark Wilson. Andy, what do you think?
I'll go for 62.
Okay, wow. Well, Mark Wilson thought his was high. Uh-huh. With what?
45.
Andy's gone 62. Are you worried?
A wee bit. Aye.
No, it's never near 62.
VAR handball.
No chance.
He's won. Mark's won that.
What I can tell you is that one of you
got it right on.
Is one away.
It's you. Sure.
I'm not so sure.
Andy's now, all over.
See,
the
when
place.
I think it, the shambles is VAR.
Exactly.
I'm no thinking chance. He might be.
No chance.
The answer
46
is 44.
Andy, that was a good guess, mate. I thought it. You were right as well.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
Andy, hard lines.
I nip off.
Good. You're interesting, though. I noticed this earlier, an excellent Pie and Bovril Twitter feed, was it? Or was it yesterday? I read it. So Aberdeen have conceded the most penalties and received the most penalties. Would you believe? Plenty of penalty box action if you involve Aberdeen.
Yeah. I was a good guess.
You'll sleep well tonight knowing that. Anyway, yeah. Andy, there's been a lot of talk about Ange Postecoglou so far on the show, but I know you're a Rangers fan. What's on your mind as a Rangers fan this week? Clearly not Nicholas Raskin's
debut.
He's
a Rangers fan, didn't get that right. I was at the game.
Don't let me to put it off. What are you thinking?
Like I say, I hope we get obviously a bit of silverware in. A league, I would say, I pretty much think the league's over with the way Celtic's playing in that. But like I say, I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of silverware between the cups.
Next couple of weeks will be blockbuster for this stuff, won't it? We said that, you know, we flirted with the idea last night because, you know, how much Rangers sort of need it, if you like, if the league is gone. Ange Postecoglou won it last year. It kick-started everything for him. He'll know how important it is. Maybe now with a season under their belt and the domestic dominance that they've got, Celtic fans now look at more of a treble as well. Because I'm sure Ange Postecoglou is, he's forgiven for not winning a treble in his first season, but you end up setting your sights high, don't you?
Yeah, but it showed you how well they've been playing, Gordon, because everyone's talking about when Beale's come in, he's won every game apart from the Celtic one, got a draw, and he can't get anywhere near Celtic. Their form has been too good. I agree with Andy, I don't think the league is a possibility for Rangers. I know there's still a few games, but a bit of silverware, 2 weeks' time at Hampden, that's got to be an absolute cracking game of football for me.
I mean, Andy, clearly you didn't see enough of Nicholas Raskin's debut to have an opinion, would that be fair?
No, I was not actually working the weekend, so I didn't even see a game.
See, that's forgivable. These things happen. You were meant to be covering it.
I was watching it. So I've got no excuse.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Was it difficult to gauge much? Or
to be honest,
I think
looked good in 10 minutes.
Yeah, it certainly felt like people enjoyed, but it was obviously a short amount of time.
Yeah, he certainly come on and got yourself about. Got on the ball very quickly indeed. Yeah, he looks like he could be a real deal. Real good player.
Just to tee up something I'm about to play, Andy, just to put you on the spot. You came on for a quiz and now I'm quizzing you about different things. What do you think about Malik Tillman at the moment?
I actually really like Tillman. I think he's a good player. He seems to know what he's doing in the league and that. And I just hope a club actually cough up the money for him instead of just letting him go back to Bayern.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought I'd get Andy's thoughts on it, test his temperature while he's on the line. Rangers fans, you can join in because I feel like he clearly had a bit of work to do to win everyone over. Has he won you all over? Is there still people that are not sold? You know, I'm curious because I'm going to play this clip of you from clip two of Michael Beale talking about it, about his desire to make it a permanent thing come the end of the season. What do you think, Rangers fans?
To have a midfielder break out and score goals is really important. In the past, we've had Scott Arfield and Joe Rebo do that. Malik's now got that role in our team. I think Todd can add to that as well. I thought those were the two biggest performers for us. I thought Todd, again, was very, very clean in all his possession, gets a lovely assist. And at that moment, we had Ryan Kent, Todd and Malik all playing behind Alfredo and Fashion. So our fullbacks had to play a slightly different game, a little bit deeper at times. So look, that's what forced the first goal. It also left us a little bit open sometimes defensively. I just think we need to be a bit stronger in the final third. Malik is a player here that is obviously key to us moving forward.
I think it's an easy decision for Rangers if it's all teed up and, you know, the deal's there to be done, then get it done. You know, 20-year-old and coming to a new country, new style of play, two different managers, you've got to take all that into consideration for where he is at this minute in time. He's one of Rangers' best midfielders at the minute. He's scoring goals, and like Beale said there, that's hard to find in players, and especially young players, getting a knack of, you know, timing their run into the box like he did on Saturday to be in the right position for Cantwell's cross. So I think most Rangers fans will be in agreement and saying that if Rangers could get that done sooner rather than later, they'd be a happy bunch.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I had to be convinced. All credit to Fraser Wishart, he put me straight in that one. I think the boy's been excellent. I think since Michael Beale's come in, tweaked the formation a little bit, it gives him more freedom to go and play behind Morelos. As Mark quite rightly said, his timing, his runs, he's adding goals to his game. He's 20 years of age. He's only going to get better with more games. The lad's not played a lot of first team football, but you can see there's definitely ability there.
I mean, Mark, we'll never know exactly. People keep sort of suggesting that the fee would be, what is it, £4.5-5 million. If you were, I mean, Michael Beale wants to, clearly, and putting your allegiances to one side, for that money, would you be looking to pull that trigger right now if you could?
Yeah.
Would you need any more convincing?
No, probably not. Look, you've got to take into consideration what you're getting for that money. Now, if it's someone who, look, sits there and, you know, doesn't get involved much in the game, but it's a different type of player, then maybe you would think twice about it. But £4 to £5 million for an attacking midfielder who scores your goals, then you look at his age, then you look at the potential. Where could he be in 3 or 4 years? What could that make your club? I think it's a pretty easy decision when you take that into consideration. Tillman, look, he seems to be enjoying his football, but I think the big thing for Tillman is Beale coming in and changing that position. Remember, we've seen him in wide positions early on in the season. Just looked like a fish out of water there. Didn't get involved in the play, disappeared out of games, and you forgot he was playing. When he's central, he looks a real player. And I think the Rangers fans can spot that right away. So I think they'd be happy to get it done.
Let's bring in Alan and get his thoughts. Alan's a Rangers fan. Are you completely sold on Malik Tillman, Alan? Have you always been? Did it take you a while to get to this point? How would you sum it up?
Yeah, like always. I actually like the way that Beale's dropped these players in. He's actually picked out the way that Tillman, whatever like that, and Todd Cantwell and stuff, the other players brought in as well. I think he's brought in two good players. All right, they're not the least of the fat, but I think they're showing to me they're good enough so far. But
yeah, I mean, I suppose, funny, right, because I go around in circles on this stuff, Mark. You've spoke about it before. You think generally that we are too hard on Scottish players. Sort of, you know, you think that if people come with a fancy name, sometimes they get a bit more praise from the fans. If you're so-called less fashionable, then you don't. But I do wonder if there are times where it works the other way. We saw this with Lia Labada when he first came to Celtic. Maybe Malik Tillman up to a point. If you're a 20-year-old academy graduate, people say, oh, it's a young lad, so, you know, a bit of time, you know, and give him a chance. Yeah. And you maybe don't quite do that. If you look at the numbers that Abada posted at 19 and 20, and you look at what Michael Beale believes Malik Tillman is bringing now, we don't really cut them the same slack for their age,
You're
do
totally
we?
Right. I think it's a great point. Look, I think Abada, if he's a young Scottish kid who's posting the numbers in his first season, there's every chance he would have been sold. And we chatted about the Premier League. That's the kind of move that happens pretty quickly if you're a young academy graduate up here. But you're right, if you're a Abada or you're Tillman, the fans see a bit of glamour coming to the club. They expect instant impact. But all the points that I made earlier, coming to a new country, settling in, Tillman's had to deal with two managers in that time, two totally different styles of play, and top competitions as well, when you take into consideration Champions League. So it's been a lot in his plate in a short space of time. And it just goes to show you, when you give him time, take him out the team, give him a wee bit of instruction that he likes to hear. I'm sure he would have been delighted when Beale said, you're going to play more central for me. I want you to get beyond the strikers. I want you to add goals to your game. I'm sure he was delighted rather than you're going to play in a wide position and you're going to, you know, play this role that you're unfamiliar with. So, you know, he's taken a bit of time, but he's certainly shown he's a top player.
Like, I don't think anyone would pretend they'll go, would you still be looking for... Well, we know we've got a big cup final coming up. Is it now at the stage where you look for big performances there? He clearly didn't impact the first meeting between the sides, but then who did? And it wasn't under Michael Beale. Champions League was tough for a lot of Rangers players. That would be an understatement. Would you be looking for some of the bigger performances in some of these big games towards the end?
Because I think he's improved so much, Gordon, from the days that you just mentioned there. I think he's grown in confidence. I think the different style of football is certainly helping him. He's 6'2". He's got a threat. He's timing. He's runs into the box. You heard Beale talking about, well, you know, Arfield, I think, was one of the best in the business at it. I thought his timing of his runs and scoring goals were excellent. So they need somebody like that. Tillman fits the bill. And I think that 20 years of age, he'll just get better and better. But you're right. Sometimes you know, maybe in the cup final, he'll need to step up, and this is where you're judged. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But I would certainly be looking to tie him down to a longer contract and get him in, because I think there's so much potential there to work with.
I'm a bit worried about you though, because you know you always adopt a player or two that you really like.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of Stuart Armstrong and Tom Rogic were like your favourites.
Tommy
you took Jeremy Frimpong under your wing, did you not?
What
you
liked happened to him?
Scott Arfield was always your sort of favourite.
Yeah.
Are these new midfield arrivals spelling less? Well, they are, seem to be spelling less game time for him. Is it worrying you on a deep personal emotional level?
Yeah, but I think Arfield's still got something to offer, Gordon. He's certainly one that you can bring off the bench, as I say.
That's my point, wasn't on the bench at the weekend.
I know, but I would certainly still see him contributing to the end of the season. Whether he's got to be there next year is completely different. And I think that's what Michael Beale's trying to say there about Tillman fits that role. He can go and do that now because he's been given the freedom. He's good in the air. He's a good finisher, and he times his runs well. But there's always a place for Scotty.
Thank you, Alan. 01419511025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here. It's 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. So do get in touch. And since I'm rhyming off the contact us info, why not? The full time teaser, fulltime@clyde1.com. I think most of you will be familiar with the format, but the way it works, you send the questions in, the pundits try and answer your question in the last half hour of the show. So pretty simple, always a bit of fun. Derek has sent this question for you tonight. Can you name the top 10 all-time goal scorers from the English Premier League who have played in Scotland at some point? So can you name
Ian Wright.
Would you let me repeat the question, please? Can you name the top 10 all-time scorers from the English Premier League who've played in Scotland at some point? What did you say there?
Ian Wright.
Well done.
Robbie Keane.
Well done. One more guess.
Dion Dublin.
Yes.
Oh, good guess.
Okay, we'll leave that there. 3 down, 7 to get. And what Derek did, quite simply, got his thinking cap on, came up with a question, sent it to fulltime@clyde1.com. See, if I wanted more answers at this point, I would tell you.
But I'll forget it. So, Bellamy won?
Yes, no more.
Good
no
shit.
More right.
Give
now.
Give another
please.
One.
Don't bother.
Oh, you wouldn't have heard me. Second half teaser, Gordon, the other day. It was one of my best. Got
did
it
you?
In seconds.
What was the, who was the answer? Who was it?
Chris Boyd.
Chris Boyd.
He did. Straight away, did you?
He got it in seconds.
I was proud of that one.
But he did see. He's seen the paper. I watched him.
I wanted to say though, even though I wasn't here on Saturday, don't think I took my eye off the ball. I've always got, you know, eyes on you too, just to make sure I know what you're up to. What were you doing? I got a very late night message saying you were at some sort of GBX event at SWG3. What is a man of your vintage?
He was at the store at 10 to 6.
Doing
straight there. I was at the
supporting
the
boom boom music, as Hugh Keaton would call it.
George was there, and Judge Jules.
Well, George was there.
For anyone that's Jules. Oh, for anyone that's
right,
seen
so
the movie Kevin and Perry,
right,
Kevin
you.
And Perry go large, all the music for that. So I was there, you know, hanging about with the, I was going to say the kids, but everybody in it was older than me.
Do you take him with you?
Imagine him at that. Imagine him, his face walking into that place and hearing the music as loud as it was. He wouldn't have lasted.
Too loud for me.
You wouldn't have lasted.
No, I know.
Do you know the movie I'm talking about? You ever seen that?
What movie?
Kevin
thanks
and
for
Perry
listening.
Go large.
Thanks for listening.
You ever seen it? No.
What's it called?
Oh, look at it. By the way, how old manish is that? What's it? You've
the
asked
look
three
in his
times.
Face. Kevin and Perry. You never seen it? No.
Never.
I can imagine him.
Hey, go home tonight.
Oh,
stick
he'll
it
hate
on.
It. He'll hate it.
How can you hate this? The greatest comedies.
All right.
See when you've got up at half four tomorrow morning.
I'll
like
take
you do.
You.
Get Kevin and Perry on.
Kevin and Perry.
And I'll take you to the next gig.
I don't fancy it. I'm past that. Days are gone for me.
Do you know what I've noticed though? I'm wondering if he is a true friend to you, because he didn't answer your text at 4:30 last week.
Correct.
AM. And also I wonder how much he values friendship generally, because one of the most important people, one of the most important people in his career is celebrating their birthday today, and he's got to 7:30 and he's not even mentioned.
Who's celebrating their birthday?
It's not your birthday, is it?
No. I said one of the most important people in your career.
Oh, my career.
Oh,
I don't know. A manager?
No. This guy gave you your greatest moment in football.
It's a Rangers player. It's no Papach, is it? Oh, happy birthday, Sasa.
Come on, wish him
many happy returns.
See, feeling.
Well, I'm delighted for him.
There you are.
No, I'm not actually, because he robbed me of what could have been an even greater moment.
No, that was going over the bar, the first one.
I was going in the top corner and he saved it. Well, happy birthday, Sasa.
43 today, apparently.
We're forever
bound by that moment.
43.
He's 43.
Apparently. I don't know. I just saw it on Twitter earlier and thought, that's the guy Mark Wilson smacked in the 43? Face. I'll need to bring that up.
38.
You'd work that one out there, didn't you?
You know that when you get in between birthdays, sometimes I
think about it. Anyway, 01419511025. Scott is a Motherwell fan on the line. What's your point, Scott?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I think the vast majority of Motherwell fans are possibly linked to the fact that this might be the season that we drop into the Championship. The performances that we've been watching week in, we're not getting any improvement. We're not getting a song out of the players that have been there for the last couple of seasons. There seems to be a lack of leadership, a lack of endeavour by some of the players. The defending at the club on Saturday was just abysmal. And I think from a real kind of supporters' perspective where we're gone, I think the fans are resigned, Gordon. I really think we know that it's happening, and that might be a positive for us to get behind the team from Saturday for the Scottish Cup and try and lift them. And there might be an injection of something for the crowd, for the fans. We've got there in numbers that we have done for our growth in a lot of away games this season. And I just hope that the Motherwell fans, as I've spoke to dozens of them over the last couple of weeks, so we really are kind of resigned to the fact that this is that it's going to happen. We're all praying that it doesn't, but I think I can't see much in a way improvement. Stevie Hamill's come in, he's inexperienced, he's bought 9 players. I mean, that's kind of, you know, mid-season stuff that you do that to try and integrate a new team to play. But I just want to know what Gordon and yourself and obviously Mark's opinion is on Motherwell's future.
Yeah, I had a feeling someone would save it for you, Gordon, the mayor of Motherwell, like I said, to be on the show tonight. And Scott paints a fairly bleak picture, easy for me to say. Would you go along with it?
Yeah, it's very hard to argue, Gordon. Stevie Hamill's found the job very difficult indeed. You've got to say that obviously the board backed him in the January window, 9 new players that have come in. I think a lot of Motherwell fans are dreading between now and the end of the season. I think the weekend's game against Wraith starts parts. It's got to be a difficult game because they're not the worst team in the world. They play some good football. They'll be well organised. So Motherwell will need to go up there and try and just build something to take into their next league game, because I think they've got 2 at home, St Mirren and probably Hearts, I think it is.
But that doesn't tend to be an advantage anymore, though, does it?
No, but you can't. And where I'm really concerned, and I think Scott was right to highlight it, the defending at Pittodrie was shambolic. It was absolutely terrible for professional footballers. So I think they've certainly got their work cut out. I know that 1 or 2 fans are maybe talking about that. How long do you give the manager? Because Stevie's been put into, you know, his first job, and sometimes you can just hit the ground running. It's not happened for him yet. I hope it does, because he's a terrific guy, and I'd like to see him being successful. Mm. But I don't want him to be the one that takes Motherwell into the Championship.
Mark, you don't get to where Motherwell are without it being a combination of negative factors, I guess. So on one hand, you can look at the defending and say, well, individually, those players on the pitch, you need to do better, you need to do your job better. But then understandably, Stevie Hamill won't be offended at the suggestion from fans that, you know, he can do things differently. And, you know, it's four fullbacks, four recognised fullbacks named in the starting 11 on Saturday, with two of them playing in a sort of back three, if you like. So Scott mentions it, nine players brought in, which is, it's good in the sense because Motherwell needed reinforcements, but it's still all a bit erratic at the moment.
It is. And when you seen the game at the weekend, a bit of a change of shape, it just looked like, you know, everybody was all over the place. Now that's the worrying thing, that you're trying to change personnel, but the outcome is always the same. And you look at the stats that are stacking up against you, and it's not just him. You think of the previous manager as well. I've seen something today that since the start of the year last year, 2022, what is it, 8 wins for 42 games. That is unbelievable. And then you pile that onto what's this season and the run that Stevie Hamill's on, 1-1 in 15. It's just not good enough. But he started well, and that's the thing that gets me. When Stevie Hamill came into the job, he got a reaction out those players. Now, he won. Did he win three out of his first four?
Yeah, he beat St Mirren, and he went up to Aberdeen and beat Aberdeen.
So he got off to a great start, and you think, well, everything's going the right direction. But then it's went backwards dramatically for him. And by the way, at both ends, it's both ends of the pitch that's costing him. We were rightly highlighting the defending when we were watching him over the last couple of weeks, because some of the goals they lose are comical. But the other end as well, the chances they're getting and not putting away at crucial times in the game is then piling more pressure on the back line. So it's a combination of both, and I'm afraid that only leads to one thing.
The only positive thing you can say is the fact that you've got probably three other teams that's going to compete with Motherwell to see who finishes bottom and who is in the playoffs. So, and you look at Dundee United not having great form. Kilmarnock have been poor. Ross County, I think Ross County with their transfer window will probably have enough. I think Malcolm Mackay can get them out it. But right now, I am looking at a Motherwell side and I'm thinking, I don't think there's a clean sheet in them. I don't know where the next result's going to come from. So I think, like a lot of Motherwell fans, it is a very concerning season.
Yeah, I'm interested though, Scott, in your theory about the fact that most fans think they are doomed, so that might allow fans to sort of get behind them. Would it not work the other way? If you think it's all, you know, just apathy sets in and it just tails away to the inevitable?
Gordon, I really think some of the chance, you know, at the side of the park, certainly against St Johnson last week, that there isn't the waves of fans even early, still encouraging the team and still trying to get behind Stevie Hamill. We know it's difficult, and I think just the quality of player that's been left with Graeme Alexander, that he's having to deal with that, and he's having to try and put together a team, and I think that there's an argument for bringing somebody in the now, like Jim Duffy, or even a Jack Ross, to look at the team and say, right, let's try and find a shape that we can be hard to beat, and these guys are professional football players that should be able to defend and for the Johnson game last week, Gordon, there was no connection between the defence, the midfield, and for the midfield to the strikers. They all seem lost, and that's what we're watching, and that's leading to the fans realising that I think this is the year that we're going to go down, which then means that we need to be heard even louder, get behind the team on Saturday and against St Mirren on Wednesday and against Hearts next Sunday to really try and lift us so that they can understand that we're still behind them, because it is difficult, you know, and we've been in this league for so long and we've enjoyed so many cup finals with good managers, but it is concerning that this might be the season. And, you know, I want to come on the season and talk about Motherwell being in the Premier League, and if they're no, then not going to happen.
I mean, Gordon, I get why you want something to change, or, you know, you want a fix. Is there a... Can you just keep throwing things at, you know, 24 league games you give Stevie Hamill 24 league games, sign 9 players, then parachute some other guy in to work alongside him for the remaining 14 games?
I think you're looking at the management team. I know Stevie well. I know Brian Kerr. Brian was a manager at Albion Rovers as well. But for a Premier League and where they are now, they'll be feeling it. Let's be honest, they're Motherwell guys. They'll be feeling it. I think that you try and give them every opportunity, every help you possibly can. Whether that's bringing, you know, biting the bullet and going out and get someone. I remember when I took over as a manager, I was still very young, and the first thing I done was I went and got an experienced guy in beside me to give me that bit of guidance, that bit of help. When you're down there, you need a friend.
I get the logic. You randomly do it now, though. Well,
I think you've got to try and change something, Gordon, because I don't see where the miracle's going to happen. He's okay. He's brought 9 players in. He's still got a chance to work and probably get a team out there. But he's trying different things, different tweaks to the formation.
Listen, that's the thing. Nothing's happening. I get the need or the desire to find a fix, Mark. It just feels like I say, 14 games to go. You just pluck some experienced guy from somewhere and...
Well,
I get
what you're saying, Gordon, because it's a big ask. Because whoever you pluck in has to come in and get to know Stevie Hamill, and Stevie Hamill then has to trust them, and that relationship has to be built before you even get to the players.
Does it not also stink of, we don't trust you?
You could think that, or Stevie Hamill might think, yeah, I do need that. I don't know what he's thinking of. But with 9 players, and bear in mind, all of them haven't taken to the field yet, maybe another couple of weeks. Now, there's plenty of the league still to go. You know, it's not as if they're cut adrift with 10 points here and you're thinking, we're way off this. It's still salvageable. But the players that he's signed have to fit the mould that he wants and have to fit the shape that he wants, and they have to take chances at one end and try and keep them at the other. I know that's simple, but that's what they need. Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. Scott puts a good case forward. Thank you, Scott, the Motherwell fan on the line there. Here's a scoreline you don't hear very often. Hibs 1, Borussia Dortmund 0.
Under 19s.
The UEFA Youth
6,000 or something.
Jacob
there, wasn't
Bellini
it?
Has put Hibs in front, 27 on the clock when he did. And there must be, that was a while ago now, must be nearly half time.
It's Chris,
yeah, I think
Sutton,
it's a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Chris Sutton,
so.
A teaser
what?
Answer, Chris Sutton.
Not even want to give Hibs under 19s a bit of praise just for a wee minute.
I did. I praised Hibs 2 months
Steve
ago.
Keane, is it? It's working with that young group. A big crowd along tonight. Well done. That's a good result.
Anyway, the full-time teaser as sent in by Derek tonight to fulltime@clyde1.com is, can you name the top 10 all-time scorers from the English Premier League who've played in Scotland? You've given me Ian Wright, Robbie Keane, Dion Dublin, Craig Bellamy, all former Celtic strikers, of course.
Sutton?
Another one, yes.
Here's
Jermaine Defoe.
Yes.
He's top of the tree in the sense he got 163.
Right.
Good return.
English
that,
Premier League.
Because we've been on the subject of Leeds all night.
Oh.
Viduka?
Yes, good answer. We'll
shout.
Get the rest of them and more calls if you fancy it next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's the final part of tonight's show. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. How are you faring in this teaser right now? Derek sent it in to us, fulltime@clyde1.com, and he wanted you to name the top 10 English Premier League goal scorers of all time that have played in Scotland. So like Ian Wright, Robbie Keane, Dion Dublin, Craig Bellamy, Chris Sutton, Mark Viduka, Celtic have had a fair few, Jermaine Defoe.
Go on.
Gary McAllister.
No.
Oh, what? Mike Newell.
No.
I just told my Mike Newell story as well.
Can I just honestly, just to give you an insight, at the break, Mark says Mike Newell and Gordon's giving it great shout. Oh, Aberdeen, Blackburn. I had to sit and listen to some nonsense story about Mark Wilson sharing a room with Mike Newell at a golf event in Ireland, and I just kept quiet, waiting for him to try and suggest that as the answer.
You've reeled us in there because your silence.
I thought that was a good shout, to be fair to you. Many we still get.
I'm going to have to scrub them off my list. Yeah.
Three to get. You need a minimum of 66 English Premier League goals to be on this list.
Di Canio then?
Yes, he's 66. He's the one at,
good shit. I'll take it back, Daz.
Yeah.
Because I did say that was nonsense.
Yep.
Okay, two to get. We'll get them before two. The end. Yeah, we'll get them before the end. Let's bring in Andy, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, Andy?
Hi, how you doing, guys? All right?
Good, thank you.
I was just talking about Mark Tillman. I think it's it's a no-brainer for Rangers. You get so much talent. And I think we did talk to Gordon and Mark about 8 weeks ago with just about his work rate, but you can see him now. His work rate is getting better by every game. He's trying back, he's trying to win the ball back again now. So I think it's just a total no-brainer. We must sign him.
Have you always felt that way, Andy, or is this a recent thing that he's won you over?
No, when I first seen him, we could see he's got the talent, but then when you watched him in some games, he lost the ball and he's just kind of standing in no man's land down the wing and you're going, come on, me man, you need to help the team here. So, but recently, Michael Beale's definitely, had a word with him and go, like, you've got the talent, but you still need to work. You know, you've not got the ball.
I think that could be the case for everybody. By the way, Andy, the work rate when Beals came in has obviously lifted, because there was games that you watched Rangers before under Van Bronckhorst when they lost possession. You looked at a lot of people going back the way and they didn't really put in the effort, and I think that was apparent in some Champions League games as well. Now, Tillman, that's one thing that I did see from Tillman in those Champions League games and bigger games, that when they lost possession, he just looked lost. He didn't look like he knew where to go positionally. He didn't look like he had that desire to run back and, you know, hurry or hassle anybody into surrendering possession. But under Beale, he seems to be more comfortable in what he's been asked to do. And the whole team seems to have raised their work rate when they're out of possession.
Is that the main difference?
Plus the fact he's getting a regular game. He's tweaked the position. He's getting a bit more confident. And that just adds to your game. And obviously the manager's putting a little bit more demands on him to track back and try and get the ball back quickly, do his part for the team. And he's scoring goals, so he's getting a bit of confidence as well. Yeah, I think he's improved. As I say, when I first seen him, I thought he might just struggle, young lad. But he's improved, and I would be very surprised if Rangers don't tie him down right away.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, I suppose though... Is there any hurry to do it? I think, you know, the by what Michael Beale said, the deal is sort of there, it's in place. Is there any harm in waiting to see how he does at the end of the season, or are you absolutely convinced?
No, I mean, I don't know the actual out-and-out clauses. If Bayern Munich can maybe say, we want him back or something, but I would actually try and get him tied in the news. He's only 20-year-old, and he's the ballet he's got. I would try and tie him down just now, actually.
Age is important, Mark, because we tend to overlook it. See, when we're throwing fees around, there's a tendency, not to everyone obviously, but some people can compare player A and player B, and if he's worth this, then, you know, he should be worth that sort of thing. But when it is only 20, you know,
yeah.
If you do the simple arithmetic here, if you give him a 5-year deal for a £5 million fee, you don't need me to tell you what that is over the...
Of course, because by the time, you're right, he gets to 25, now it could work both ways. He might not perform, but the likelihood is, the way he looks just now, he will improve. He'll get better. Time he hits 25, what's your sale on value at that? That's the way clubs work, and Celtic and Rangers are no different from anybody else. I know we get caught up with, players are here forever and they love the club. Well, the people upstairs that run the club don't think like that. They know fine well what they're doing when they're buying a player at that age, thinking long term we could get who knows what from the English Premier League.
We will see, Andy. We will see. Andrew Ironsides on Twitter: Tillman deal has to be sorted as soon as it can be. Always feel he's the player we all expected Joe Aribo to be. He's got potential to outdo Bassey's transfer in the future. Wow, exciting. Setting the sights high there as well. It's 1-0 to Hibs at half time in that UEFA Youth League match.
Well done, Hibs.
By the way, right, I think that's nearly us. I would say that's quick, wasn't it?
I've really enjoyed the show tonight.
Yeah, very cool. Oh, it's been a pleasure. A pleasure
have
to
you?
Share the platform with you.
Yeah, no, you didn't look like your face didn't look like you enjoyed it. You look tired. You look drained.
I feel
like you've got something on, like, playing on your mind at the moment.
No, not at all. No,
I think that's the impression he's giving off.
It was my first golfing walk today.
After the knee?
Yeah.
And how did it hold up?
It's hitting the ball great.
How many weeks are we on from the knee up?
Four today.
you not just given it six? Did you really need to rush out in winter conditions to play golf 4 weeks after knee surgery?
Yeah.
Are you able to do everything?
Like full swing?
Like what?
Full swing, I think you meant.
Full swing. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, good. All right. Is it two more you have to get in the teaser? We're looking for the top 10 English Premier League goal scorers of all time who've played in Scotland. Obviously we're putting our spin on it. So you've got Ian Wright, you've got Robbie Keane, Dion Dublin, Craig Bellamy, Chris Sutton, Jermaine Defoe, Mark Viduka, Paolo Di Canio. Some big names in there.
Duncan Ferguson.
Yes.
Oh.
The only, is he the only Scot on the list? Yeah, he will be.
Take a bow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right, so we've got one to get. Mm-hmm. I think we'll need a wee clue on it.
This guy got more English Premier League goals than Chris Sutton, more than Craig Bellamy, more than Duncan Ferguson, more than Paolo Di Canio.
Oh, he's got to be a big name then, hasn't he?
Is he English?
Yes.
He didn't play for Rangers or Celtic, did he?
Yes.
Okay, narrowed it down.
Rangers.
Kanchelskis.
Well, that is a big name in terms of the number of letters, but it's not him, no. Did also play for the same club in Merseyside as Kanchelskis. That not helped you at all?
Franny Jeffers.
No. I thought you were going to go there.
Trevor Francis.
Oh,
You really running out of time?
No, I'm struggling.
Played for Southampton, Stoke, Sheffield United.
Austin Stad.
No. James Beattie.
Oh, I never got that.
Right, back tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly, and Johnny Campbell's up next.